few years ago, we were running a retreat for a group of men, and men coming from all sorts of walks of life. There was one man there who was involved with police and rescue, and he began to share something of an experience he had. We'd been called out to a kind of sort of tragic circumstances where a little child had been lost, and they suspected that the child had gone to a neighbouring house, and they couldn't get through to the house where there'd been a pool. And of course, the tragedy unfolded, and they called the parents. The little child had drowned in the pool. And he was assigned to go with the parents back to their home. There was a man who'd walked for many years with the Lord. He'd been part of various kind of men's groups and Christian groups. And as he sat in that car with the parents, of course, were in great distress, he felt paralyzed and he felt absolutely powerless and lost for words. And the tension grew within him as he traveled with those parents. As he got home, he felt he couldn't say anything to them. And as he kind of walked away, you know, they were sort of grateful that he just kind of accompanied them, and that he kind of was a man of great compassion, really. And they felt that, even in his kind of wordless presence. But what went off inside of him was, "You useless character. You useless character. Couldn't you say something? All these years, you've sat with these groups and you've walked as a Christian. Didn't you have something you could say? You're hopeless." These were the deep kind of feelings within himself. And what it began to reveal to him was some core beliefs that he had about himself. That he was hopeless, that he was useless, that really he was powerless. And he got in touch with some something deep inside himself. Where there are more than just sort of accusing sort of voices that we have from time to time. But there was stuff that he believed about himself. You know what I mean? Really deep core beliefs about myself. It comes up sometimes, doesn't it? In the midst of pressure or strain or stress or trauma, there's certain things that come up in our lives where we say, "I am." What do you say? "I am." Whatever. Useless, powerless. You get something wrong. "Oh, yes, I got that wrong. I got it wrong again. I always get it wrong. I am just so wrong." There's some core beliefs, aren't there? And sometimes these things, they come from the way that we've been shaped in our lives. You know, from those who we have grown up with, maybe even our parents, authority figures in our lives who we thought were our protectors, our helpers. It shapes us. Maybe incidents that have happened in our lives, they shape us. And we start to take on some really false beliefs about ourselves, but they are strong. And we start to operate out of them. They have a certain power in our lives. And it's hard to shake them. And they can even begin to shape how we see God. So that these core beliefs that I am useless or powerless or hopeless or unlovable or I'm ugly or I'm not going to be acceptable anywhere, they can even start to affect and infect our relationship with God. That God is powerless to change me. That God can't reach me. That God must be displeased with me. Of course, we don't say that to anyone. We're all good Christians here. We all would say the opposite of those things to anyone. But deep down, I'm talking about the core beliefs that we often operate from. You know it. The false self, if you like. Not the self that we heard about in John's letter tonight, the epistle of John, not the gospel, but the epistle of John that talks us that the love of God which has been lavished upon us so that we might be called children of God. That's the core belief. That's my identity. That's the truth. That's the thing that has to be challenge my very deepest entity, who I really am. That's the healing that needs to enter into our lives. This image of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, you know, in the very early church, in the catacombs, when they're under persecution, where you can still go today into Rome, into the various catacombs, on the back of some of the places where they celebrated the Eucharist, a prominent image was of Jesus carrying the sheep. It wasn't the cross, the crucifixion, it was Jesus, the Good Shepherd, carrying the sheep. Right back in the early church, under persecution, was Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who lays down his life. And often that image of the Good Shepherd can touch us deeply in terms of God, who is intimate and comes to us and is tender and merciful and knows us and wants relationship with us. Wants to come and challenge those core beliefs, those false beliefs, those lies that poison and destroy who we are as children of God. They are lies. Tell yourself now, that is a lie. Whatever it is, whatever the Spirit is doing now in your heart, whatever the Spirit is saying in the depths of your being now about who I think I am, and it's not I am a child of God on whom God has lavished his love, I've been created in the dignity and likeness of God, and all that God promises me as a child of God will come to fulfillment in my life. If that isn't the core belief, if it's something else, tell it it's a lie. It's false, and therefore has no power in my life. That I belong to God. That I belong to God, that the Good Shepherd, Jesus, draws me into his heart. He seeks us out. We don't have a passive shepherd. That's not the image that comes forth from the Gospels. Jesus actually seeks us out. He doesn't sit back waiting for us to come to him. Oh, I hope my people come to me. I hope they realize and wake up one day and come to me. He's out there and getting them. You know that crook and staff? That's not a crook and staff to look nice. It's actually to yank them back in. Sometimes they say they put the sheep around the shoulders because they kept running away. Not because it was nice and tender, because he busted a leg. Ever had the Lord bust your leg to get you back? Sometimes it's like that, isn't it? We get sick, we lose someone, we're in grief, we make a big mess of our lives and we think, oh God, where are you? I'm right here, Steve. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, you've always been here. You're right here with me. You've come back. So it's a kind of tough love too. We need a love of a shepherd who's not afraid to battle the wolves. Yes, it's nice to have the shepherd who draws us close to his heart and holds us, but we also need a shepherd who can protect us from the wolves and the false shepherds, who can take on the lions and the wolves. The indestructible love of God is what Pope Benedict talks about when Jesus lays down his life for us and is raised up, talks about this love of God that is both intimate and personal and compassion and merciful, but also powerful and indestructible, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Take that to the core belief of who you are. Take that to the core belief tonight, that the love of God is indestructible. That what has ever happened in my life, whatever that has shaped in me so that says I'm useless or hopeless or powerless or can't do anything, that is a lie, because the indestructible love of God reaches into my heart and nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. That there's the fullness of truth in Jesus. He comes with the fullness of truth. And God wants nothing less than communion. He doesn't want to bestow just good feelings on us. He doesn't want to bestow just healing upon us. He doesn't just want to bestow a sort of prosperous life upon us. He wants to propose only communion. God wants intimacy and communion with us. Sometimes we want a whole range of things. That's part of our journey. And as we mature, we realize God is much more than about just doing cosmetic sort of surgery with us, making us look good, making us financially safe, making us all healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's not really the gospel. He actually wants communion with us. And more than wanting it, he is doing it. You know, God's doing it in you now. It actually doesn't depend on you. Challenge that core belief. And I'm not working hard enough. I'm not striving hard enough. I'm not getting close to God enough. I'm not doing all the works required of me. It actually doesn't depend on you. It's already been done on the cross for you. He's at work in you. That's what this is about. That's what opening up to God's Spirit is, opening up to His Spirit of love already at work in us, kind of waking us up and saying, you know, everything that's happened to you, God's love is the background and the foreground and the context in which everything has happened. Even the worst things, God's love can penetrate and bring life and healing and give meaning where I think at times it has no meaning. That the indestructible love of God, I need to know this in these days. I need to know that tyrants and dictators and oppressors and those who weigh down and oppress all the injustice that they do in the world, that God doesn't sit back passively, but is actively at work. In love, not responding with violence and hatred, but in love, in an indestructible love, bringing source life. Those who oppress, those dictators, those who put people down, those who take life in themselves, in the end, lose life. It's only God who raises up life. So tonight and in the weeks ahead, let's ask for God's Spirit to come into our lives and reveal the truth of who we are and of who God is, the one who lavishes his love upon us. Let's ask God to challenge the core belief that I carry at the moment. It may even disturb me at the moment that this core belief, I might have to let go of it because it's not true. We want to live in the truth that we are children of God, created in the image and likeness of God, with the dignity and value of God, which means I look upon every person with that same value and dignity and trust. And that finally is the word from the gospel, isn't it? There are many others who are not part of this flock that I want to draw into unity with us. That there's always a place in the heart of God, in the heart of the Father, for another. And another, and another. And so there has to be a place in our hearts always for the other and for the stranger and for the exiled and the poor. So as we come into the Eucharist tonight, as those core belief is challenged, and we receive the infilling of God's love and His Spirit through the Eucharist, let's pray that we might be released more deeply in the power of His Spirit and in the power of His love.